Shall we turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're all going to read the last verse of this chapter. Are we ready? Are we all there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're reading verse 15. All together. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's have it again. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. In chapters 8 and 9 of this epistle, the apostle has been dealing with the subject of the collection for the needy Christians in Jerusalem. In chapter 8, he has used certain examples. The example of the Macedonians, who gave out of deep poverty, in the midst of much affliction, very generously and sacrificially. And you will note that the secret of their extraordinary liberality was due to the fact that they had first given themselves to the Lord. And when the Lord reaches down and touches our heart, He always can reach out to what we have. They gave of their substance because they had given of themselves. Then, following that, we have the example of the Master. It's interesting if we just look at verse 9 of chapter 8. It's a verse that is often quoted. It is particularly significant. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ye know. Knowing how much is owing. Knowing how much is owing. Though He was rich, yet He became poor. Stooping so far in going. That ye through His poverty might be rich. Giving so much in bestowing. Our Lord Jesus came down to lift us up, and He had nothing in order that we might have everything. Then we have the example of the motives in stewardship from verse 10 of chapter 8 right through to verse 5 of chapter 9. And then the example of the ministry of stewardship in chapter 9, verse 6, right through to the end of the chapter. And in this section we have the principles of sowing and reaping, chapter 9, verse 6. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, then we're going to reap bountifully. This applies to our stewardship, but it also applies to our spirituality. As Paul teaches us in Galatians chapter 6, if we sow to the flesh, we shall reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap life everlasting. For it is clearly enunciated, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then it also relates to our service. As we know from Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. the principles of sowing and reaping. Then in verse 7, the principles of cheerful giving. To give, as we note here in verse 7, purposefully. To give willingly, not grudgingly. And then to give voluntarily, not out of compulsion. And then in verses 8 through 14, we have the principles of giving and receiving. Note, if you will, the word all in verse 8, chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. All grace, all sufficiency, all things. God supplies the seed for sowing, as we note in this section, as well as bread for eating. And as we see in verses 11 through 14, this results in praise, thanksgiving, and prayer to God. The grace of giving and of thanksgiving. Now we're looking at our text for tonight. I divided this text into three main parts. First of all, the gratitude that is expressed. Thanks. Then the giver who is addressed, thanks be unto God. And then the gift that is possessed for his unspeakable or indescribable gift, namely our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am so glad that Mr. Willie expressed his gratitude to those who had worked so diligently in order to prepare that wonderful dinner for us today. I believe the Bible teaches us again and again the importance of being grateful for what we receive. I remember Mr. Laidlaw of New Zealand, now with the Lord, saying on one occasion, two boys each got a box of chocolates. One said thank you, the other didn't. Which of the two boys do you think will get the second box of chocolates? The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:6, as also in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. In Philippians 4 verse 6, it is in the context of the problems that we may face in life. Be anxious about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In the second reference, it is in relation to the purpose for Christian living. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then you will recall that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5 verse 20, he says that we should give thanks always for all things. Now let us look at the attitude of Christ in relation to giving thanks. In the Gospel according to John chapter 6 and in verse 11, we read that after the Lord had received that small supply of food, namely 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, he first gave thanks to God. and then began distributing the food, which of course was miraculously multiplied so that everyone received adequate provision. They ate as much as they could, and there were 12 baskets of fragments left over after they all had eaten. But the Lord first gave thanks. You'll remember that in the celebration of the Passover, Luke 22:17 tells us that he gave thanks to God. This was immediately followed by the institution of the Lord's Supper, for which he also gave thanks. We have another example in the acknowledgement of the Samaritan who had been a leper. In Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 17, we have the account of 10 men who were lepers. They were all healed of this dreaded disease, but only one returned to give glory to God. Only one came back and fell down on his face before the Lord and gave thanks. And the Lord points out that this man was, of all people, a Samaritan. And the question that the Lord asked on that occasion was this: where are the 9? Only one had come back to express his gratitude. In the days of the ministry of Dr. Ari Torrey, in the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles, California, one evening service, Dr. Torrey referred to the fact that a ship had been wrecked off the Californian coast some weeks previously, and that due to the heroism of one man on board that ship, every person on that doomed vessel was brought to safety. And as he was relating the incident, suddenly a man sprang up in the congregation and said, "Excuse me, Dr. Torrey, but the man who effected the rescue that night is in this auditorium this evening." Dr. Torrey said, "Is that so? Would the man please stand up?" The man did so. He said, "Would you come to the platform, please? I would like to talk with you." He asked him much concerning what happened that night. And then he said to this man, "Tell me what impressed you most of all about that great rescue." The man said, "Although I saved about 50 men, not one of them ever said thank you. Not one of them has ever since contacted me to express thanks for what was done." Now we may think that was surely very unusual and very exceptional. I have been greatly impressed in this country by the way in which people do express their thanks. And I had to learn another phrase after I came here that I never knew before. Thanks will be expressed, and then the person will say, "You are welcome." That was a new one to us, was it not? I like it. I think it's very good. But it is possible for us to be forgetful about being thankful. And it's so wonderful that on the first day of the week, the Lord appointed that we would meet together to remember him in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, so that we would regularly express from our redeemed hearts our gratitude to him for all that he has done for us and for all that he has given on our behalf. We have the attitude of Christ. We there have the acknowledgement expressed by the Samaritan. And then the appreciation of Paul. Again and again we read of his gratitude. We find that when he was aboard the ship that was soon after going to be broken up, and all those on board, 276 persons, were brought to land safely, that towards the end of that fateful voyage, as food was brought out, Paul gave thanks to God for it, it says, in the presence of them all. And I hope that on every occasion, when food is brought before us, that we never fail to give thanks to the Lord for his provision. One of our judges in New Zealand had a very remarkable conversion. He had been a man who had called himself an agnostic before the Lord met and saved him. He was, on occasion, called in to meet with some of the cabinet ministers in the New Zealand Parliament. Soon after his conversion, he was having a meal with some of these cabinet ministers. And before he started eating his food, he bowed his head and quietly gave thanks to the Lord. Soon as he had opened his eyes, one of the cabinet ministers said, "Say, Pat, have you turned religious or something?" Because he'd never done that before. And that gave him an opportunity to witness concerning his faith in Jesus Christ. I have a friend in Aberdeen who told me about taking a preacher into a hotel. They went into this large dining room, and just before they started the meal, the preacher got up and in a very loud voice gave thanks for everybody who was going to be eating in that dining room. My friend confessed that he was somewhat embarrassed. And he said to him, "That's not how we do it on occasions like this." He said, "No, how do you do it?" He said, "Well, we just close our eyes and we just rub our nose like that." But this man was obviously completely uninhibited in his desire to express his gratitude to God. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, gives thanks to God for the Christians in that city. We find this in Romans 1, verse 8. Of course, you all know that Paul must have been a southerner because he gives thanks for you all. He does that again and again, you all. He thanks God for their faith. In his letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4, he gives thanks for the grace of God that has been seen in the Corinthian Christian. In Ephesians 1, verses 15, 16, and Colossians 1, verses 3 and 4, the apostle gives thanks for the faith and the love of the Ephesian and Colossian believers. In his letter to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verses 2 and 3, the apostle gives thanks for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. Paul continually gave thanks to God for those who had believed. He gave thanks for blessings that had been received. And he gave thanks for victories that had been achieved. The gratitude that is expressed. Then secondly, the giver, who is addressed, thanks be unto God. We sometimes sing, blessed be God, our God, who gave for us his well-beloved Son, the gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. Blessed be God, our God. In Romans 8, verse 32, the Apostle Paul writes, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave us light in a world of spiritual darkness. When the infant child Jesus of 8 days was brought into the temple, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God as he gave thanks for seeing the salvation of the Lord. And Simeon said on that memorable occasion that this little child would be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. God, in sending a Son, sent a light amidst the prevailing spiritual darkness in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the light of the world. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. How we thank God tonight that we have been enlightened, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ has shone in to our darkened hearts and lives. I had a friend in the Shetland Islands, his name was Tom Patterson. He had been a very godless Navy man before the Lord saved him. Tom Patterson's life was totally transformed by the grace of God. As I talked with him in Lerwick on one occasion, he said, some of my former Navy friends have said to me, Tom, you know what's wrong with you? You're cracked. And he said, I felt like saying to them, I agree with you, because praise God, it was through the crack that the Lord shone in the light of the gospel. God brought light in the person of his Son. But God also brought love into a world of sin and strife. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And of course, right away, we think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved. God gave. I believe. And I'm saved. That, friends, is the wonderful truth of the gospel. But God also brought life into a world of spiritual death. 1 John 4:9 we read, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Light is the sum of all knowledge. Love is the sum of all moral excellence. And life is the sum of all being. The gratitude that is expressed, the giver who is addressed, and finally the gift that is possessed. The Lord Jesus Christ said, as recorded in John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The Apostle Paul tells us, in Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we all know the words of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My dear friend, this gift has been provided at infinite cost. Listen again to the words of the Savior as recorded in John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This gift has been provided because the Lord of life and glory died that shameful and awful death of the cross. The gift is presented. The gift of God, which is eternal life. When the Lord was talking with the Samaritan woman by Sychar's well, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. My dear friends, this gift that has been provided is the gift that is presented. And then this Christmas evening, it is possible that there may be one or more persons in this auditorium tonight who have never yet received the gift that has been provided and that is being presented. Will you this very night, friend, acknowledge your need before God. Confess your sin to Him. Put out the empty hand of faith and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. The gift provided. The gift presented. And praise God for the gift that is possessed. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, read like this. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you can go back to a time in your experience when you sincerely and definitely confessed your sin to God and received Christ into your heart as your Savior, then you know with absolute assurance tonight that you are the possessor of eternal life. The words of the Savior are most meaningful to you, for this is what He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. And friends, you can possess that gift by faith tonight, if you will receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior and your Lord. Our Savior not only offers us eternal life, but there are many other gifts that He is willing to bestow upon us. In Matthew 11:28, for instance, He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And we can experience true rest through a complete commitment to Jesus Christ. Then again, He tells us of the legacy which He is going to leave, and of the gift that He offers, when He says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Life, rest, and peace are found through a personal faith in a living and loving Lord Jesus. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Will you receive this gift tonight? Will you say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free." And as we think of all the gifts that our Savior has given to us, as we remember that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, I wonder, what are we going to give to the Master? What are we going to lay at His feet? The wise men came, as we saw this morning. They came prepared to offer their gift to the newly born King. They presented gold and frankincense and myrrh. Shall we, as we near the close of another year, as we are about to enter 1977 in the will of God, shall we not, even this night, say, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." At the beginning of my message tonight, I mentioned the fact that the Macedonian Christians had first given themselves to the Lord, and then they gave willingly and gladly of their substance to the Lord. But the real starting point, what is absolutely essential in our Christian life and experience, is to give ourselves to Him. Listen again to the words of Romans 12:1-2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." As tonight we kneel before the scarred, yet sacred feet of the matchless Son of God, shall we not say, as we sometimes sing, "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow.
lead me to Calvary. For he would say to our hearts tonight, all this I have given for thee. What hast thou given for me? Shall we turn in our hymn book to number 476? 476. Now I've got that wrong again. I'll get it right. Mrs. Willie, I gave you the hymn at the beginning and I'll get it right now. It's number 467. Got the numbers round the wrong way. 467, if you will. Sorry about that. Savior, thy dying love, thou gavest me. Nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee in love. My soul would thou, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Let us sing this hymn thoughtfully and prayerfully. And may from our hearts we express not only our gratitude to God for the gift of his Son, but may we also be willing to give something to him even this night. 467.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Just have a moment of meditation. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's praise His name tonight for the gift of gifts. The Son of God, who came into the world to save us. O God, we do thank Thee from our hearts tonight for Thine indescribable gift. We can never begin to compare it with any other gift. This is the greatest and most wonderful gift of all. And from our hearts, Lord, we want to express our deep gratitude to Thee. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee that Thou art willing to leave the ivory palaces and come into this world of woe. How we praise Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou didst love us so greatly that Thou art willing to freely give Thy life as a sacrifice for our sin at Calvary. And with the Apostle Paul, we would say tonight, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. All for me. All for me. Lord, was it all for me? From the throne to the manger? From there to the cross? Yes. It was all for me. Thank you, Lord. We magnify your holy name tonight. But blessed Lord Jesus, our concern now is that in the light of all that Thou hast given to us, that we should have something to give to Thee. Help us, Lord, first and foremost, to be willing to give ourselves without any reservation, to really and truly allow Thee to take over full control of our lives. Lord, speak to our hearts. Should there be anyone here tonight who has never yet trusted in the Lord Jesus, who has never yet received the gift of eternal life, O Lord, we pray that that person may not leave this auditorium this evening without making that most vital and eternal decision. Lord, speak to hearts tonight. Accomplish Thine own will in the lives of all who are present. Now we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast prepared a place for us. We're going to be there, and we believe we're going to be there soon. And we're singing tonight, oh, that will be glory for me. And as we contemplate the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that Thou wilt enable us to do so with gratitude in our hearts, and also with expectation that as we hear the Savior say from heaven, surely I come quickly, may our redeemed hearts respond in joyous anticipation. As in the words of Scripture, we say tonight, Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And should there be any in this service tonight who have not yet received the gift of eternal life, would you give me the opportunity of showing you simply and clearly from the Bible how this gift can be your very own this very night? And may the Lord bless you.